This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sukanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up? What's going on? Good Monday. You know, that open reminded me that we are back to square one.
It's not super weak. It's not. It's
what, it's nothing.
It's not. It's not extra. Remember, we were extra hard hitting for a while.
Yeah, and then championship week and yeah.
Masters, right? When's the Masters?
Playoffs. 59 days.
Well, I think that's...
Not that Buck's counting.
No, I saw somebody tweet last night, well, we're 60 days away from the Masters.
Well, I think that's probably the next...
Pitchers and catchers.
Yeah, but we're not going to have an open for that.
We should. I mean...
Anybody?
I'm not
is that sponsored?
It.
Pitchers and catchers, is that sponsored by someone?
Should be.
You know, just saying. It might be a while before we have an extra special open where we're...
Well...
So I just want you to know, we are not extra hard hitting. We're not at a championship level. We're just back to the normal show.
Well, it's like in the sports radio world... This begins our calendar year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like right here.
Yeah, the NFL season, right?
It's like all this, over.
Yeah, when the NFL season ends, and then remember, there's always the start to the league year, like where you can actually make trades and you got to cut guys and whatnot. This is kind of the start of our league
year.
It's like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, Buckley, your performance, we're going to evaluate it. All right?
All right. Let me know what I need to do,
birthday
coach.
Offs. A lot of issues right now as we look to retool and try to make a championship run next year.
I don't know about a championship run. Let's just try to keep the team together.
Keep the fans engaged and maybe keep playoffs on the table.
Of the fan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, 54, what did he say?
54%.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good number.
You know, Bucks are Polanco. You know what? We're going to be just fine.
Jorge Polanco.
That's good.
Right over there. In the flesh.
Solid contributor, but not much to write home
about. I like where we're going with this. 54%, not setting the bar too low, not setting it too high, right in the middle,
well,
profitable.
You know, we'll have March Madness.
Yeah.
We'll have the Masters, although...
Madness will probably be the next, I would guess, would be the next sponsored week.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll guess, be up, we'll yeah. probably be
something
up at the
casino, maybe.
And, you know,
yeah.
something along those lines.
Can't wait to bet on it.
Absolutely.
That's fun.
Didn't you Jayhawks go down to Kansas State this weekend?
They did.
What the hell, man?
Well, I told you they're not very good.
I was flipping around the old the tube there.
Well, I mean, they're good. They're just
and
not.
And I saw Kansas. There was a couple minutes to play left, and they were down by like 8. And I'm like, oh, man.
They're not great. But, you know, you got to hand it to those Kansas State Wildcats.
Those ninnies.
They were terrible to start the year, and they've rattled off. I think they beat Kansas, they beat Iowa State. And
so the world are we living in where your 54% DePoto ass is now giving credit to Kansas State?
Well, they're so cute. We beat them all the time. It's, you know, let's give them a couple.
Oh, and by the way, the Vancouver Ford text line is in. Football is not over. I did see the commercial. The UFL right around the corner.
Yeah, I don't. I mean,
football's over.
Hey, what about the what about hot Battle Hawk talk?
I'm with Buck.
Oh, are we gonna go over? Wait, who won the UFL last year? Oh, are we gonna talk about like a repeat? Are we a dynasty of the UFL? Anybody? Nothing.
I got nothing on the UFL.
Oh. Sorry. Go Battle Hawks.
If he was trying to make a joke, it wasn't funny.
Well, just, you know.
I'm sad. I'm always sports sad on the Monday after the Super Bowl.
Well, it's been a hangover for a lot of people.
Because I want football.
You can be angry about something. Everyone's angry. I was listening to my favorite morning show today. I thought Dirt was going to have a freaking hemorrhage.
Did he cry?
He was just pissed about everything.
Why is he? Well, it sounds like us. What are they doing? Stealing our bits?
Hated the game. Hated Kendrick Lamar. Hated the halftime in general. He was doing the old white man. I want the. He was calling for the marching band.
I can't
to come
tell
back.
Anything he says. I can't read his lips.
He was just
angry. I can't tell what he's saying.
I saw someone say that white people will complain about not being able to understand Kendrick Lamar and then go put on a Pearl Jam record.
Yeah.
Hey, I love Pearl Jam. Shut
that
up.
Is shockingly accurate and funny. I love that. Who said that?
It was. I'll see if I can find it. It was someone on Twitter.
That is so good. But I would like to say I don't know what he's saying.
Well, you're not a rap guy.
Do you have to be a rap guy to be able to pick out lyrics?
Yeah, I think you have to.
Kinda.
You do?
Sometimes.
I am not a huge rap guy, but there are a handful I like, and Kendrick Lamar is one of my favorites. So I was excited, and yes, I did know what he was saying, and he murdered Drake, which was fantastic, because I think Drake's a bitch. So if you were a white person that liked Kendrick Lamar, or you happened to just like rap, you probably thought that was great, but somewhere Ted Nugent and Bobert are like, I guarantee my dad on the couch somewhere was like, son of a bitch. Bring back the marching.
Someone says we're going to overcorrect next year and do something like Nugent and Kid Rock out there.
Was that too racy for people?
I don't know. People are always upset about the halftime show. He's dumb in the first place.
Walking, looking great.
I mean, it was fine.
Well, again, if you like a certain type of music,
he didn't screw it up.
I thought he was great, but again, I like him.
Shockingly short.
Yeah, he's a tiny little fella.
He's a little guy.
He's a little guy. Yeah, he's
how tall is he?
I don't know if he's Bruno Mars little, but he's little. I've seen him in concert, and even in concert, not like I was like front row, but he's small.
5'5" listed.
Yeah, which, you know.
So maybe even shorter than that.
I don't know. I got to meet Bruno Mars once, and I think they list him at 5'5". Bruno Mars ain't 5'5".
Are musicians doing the sports bit where they list taller than they are?
Well, it's the weird paradox that if you're like 6'9", well, actually, if you're like in the NBA, if you're 6'11 or 7 foot, you try to go down. You don't want to be known as 7'1". But if you're like 5'5", you don't want to be 5'5". Like you got everyone fudges a little bit.
I was at a doctor's appointment the other day, and they took my height. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
You're shorter now? Are you shrinking?
I actually am.
Well, that's everybody.
They said, I asked her rather cheekily, you know, because I'm that guy. When I go to the doctor's office, I'm like, am I 6 foot yet? Yeah.
You're doing bits.
Yeah, I got bits. And she's like, you're under 5'11". I'm like, wait, under? Remeasure! Yeah. I called for a remeasure, and she didn't do it.
I'm down quarter to a half an inch.
So I'm pissed.
Yeah, I'm shrinking. Your spine compresses.
Yeah, I understand. It's just I'm spry and young and hot.
Well, I think you're at a weird, so like you're
wait, I'm none of those things. But
you're kind of in a sweet spot, because I think like there's a certain acceptance, anywhere from like probably 5'10 to like 6'1". I think you're just kind of, you're just there. I don't think there's any sort of real, I think you're comfortable with where it's at.
You wouldn't tell if I'm 5'10 versus 5'11".
You're just kind of in that range. Yeah. But you get really tall or you get really short, that's where you get some people fudging a little bit.
Well, I've always wanted to be 6 foot, and sounds like the dream has been shot.
You got to do the Bobby Brady thing and just hang upside down.
Oh, is that what you do? Well, elongate your spine?
I do the inversion table to help stretch out my spine, and then the chiropractor just to kind of decompress. I don't think it's not helping, obviously, because I'm still shorter than I was when I played, but you know.
Well, hey, we're not Kendrick Lamar, so that's good.
No,
he is tiny.
I would gladly trade places with Kendrick Lamar.
There's no way he's 5'5".
Probably not. He's a, like I said, he's a little fella. And he wears bell bottoms.
And then the little bell bottoms he had on made him look like a little. He made him look like a little doll.
The big jeans and the flowy jeans are coming back, man.
They are?
Yeah. Whether they're the baggy skater jeans or the bell-bottomy jeans with more material, definitely on the way back.
Yeah, that's how you know you're old, when you look at that and go, God, what are they wearing? Apparently that's in style now.
I don't know. I've never once watched someone do the halftime show and then thought to myself, well, that's what I wear on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes you just have to understand that they not like us and that's not for you and that's okay. It's like if Taylor Swift performs, that's not for me and that's okay. It doesn't mean that it's terrible simply because it's not for you.
Is she going to be out there next year, you think, Tay-Tay?
My guess is there will be a correction that will sweep after because we had what? Usher, we had Rihanna, we had the Snoop, Dre, Eminem, Lamar. My guess is that it may swing back the other way, a scooch, but I don't really know where you go back. I don't know if you go full country. Do you drag out, there's always been talk that Metallica or like the Foo Fighters or Pearl Jam, someone like that.
Yeah. Could do we want pull safe? Off. Is that what we're saying? Because we're scared of Kendrick Lamar. So we have to go, well, Taylor's, I mean, she's as safe
that's
as you get.
That's about as safe as you get.
And she's huge.
Yeah, safe as
the, you know, the Scuddy has always been with her that she has a deal with Coke and she couldn't ever do it because it's the Pepsi halftime show.
Well, now it's the Apple.
Right. So I think that may change from, my sources are telling me that may change Tay-Tay's availability for the halftime show.
Yeah, I mean, she's the most popular woman on the planet.
And the ratings would just be, I mean, think about the ratings.
Yes.
You know, not, I mean, the ratings are already great now, but I love the you get Tay-Tay
like,
out there.
It's like, oh, she got booed at the Super Bowl. Yeah, I think Taylor Swift's doing just fine.
All the little girls be tuning in.
I don't think Taylor Swift has to worry about her popularity anytime soon.
Like the teenage girl is like the one market that the Super Bowl really doesn't have a grasp of.
No.
Then they throw Taylor Swift on there. Now they got them too.
What's next?
The baby market?
What is the get Bluey out there? Or what is the Wiggles were the big ones when
start going animated?
When my kids, if Taylor Swift were to perform at the halftime, because that's when the Super Bowl always peaks at the halftime, despite what dirt and old angry men think, the halftime is the most watched part of the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and I'm willing to wager whatever the record is, 130 or whatever the peak viewership is, if Taylor Swift were to perform at the Super Bowl, that would be the highest rated TV show of all time. In that brief moment, that 15-minute window, note that there will never have been a greater audience in TV history than that moment.
Because her concerts are never that widely available to that many people.
Well, and you're going to get the football dummies like us that are going to watch, even if you sit there and yell and complain, you still watch.
Yeah.
But the amount of people, the ancillary people, and as you mentioned, the teenage girls and all that would tune in, the number would be astronomical.
And that really was Serena Williams, huh?
Yeah, it threw me for a loop. We were, I was watching it with the, I just had one buddy sitting on the couch with me, and no one outside of the BTJ thought that was Serena Williams. Dare I say, I thought she looked too young and hot.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, no.
It looked like her, but you're right.
Like
it's
a
like,
younger, hotter her.
Well, I think the biggest thing was, and I'm sure this is where they were coming from, is like, well, why would Serena Williams be up? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, do you know the reason behind it now?
No, do they?
So she dated Drake.
It's part of the Kendrick Drake beef. And she rubbed it in Drake's face even more.
And she's in from Compton, and so is Kendrick Lamar. And
he always makes
fun of Drake. I mean, we don't need to get into the whole thing, but trust me, the Drake-Kendrick feud is phenomenal.
Levels to that thing.
And Kendrick Lamar absolutely has buried arguably the biggest, I don't know, rap hip-hop star of the last 15 years, that he's burying him. He absolutely made him his bitch, and it was phenomenal.
Now, why do they hate each other? Do I want to ask that question?
It's deep. It's been going on for a while, and this last year, it really kind of exploded, and then it's officially over. Drake is such a bitch that he sued Kendrick Lamar and the record company, which is also his record company, for hurting his feelings.
Yeah, for like slander or something like that.
Hey, Serena looks good though.
Serena looks great.
And you might have also noticed that Kendrick was wearing a chain that had the lowercase a on it.
I did see that.
That is because he has a lyric dissing Drake that says, trying to strike a chord and it's probably A minor.
And that's the big line in the song. But that's also the logo of one of his companies.
It's also a direct shot at Drake.
Yeah. He's calling him a pedo, so.
Yeah.
I'm with Dirt.
Look at you.
I can't handle all
you
this.
And Dirt can get together and be like, where's the I think my dad would like to talk to you guys about maybe starting a petition about
dig up Tom
band.
Petty, see if he's still available.
There's our Super Bowl party next year. Me, Dirt, your dad, and dead Tom Petty. I don't know why Tom Petty would. Oh, you mean to play?
Do a halftime show.
Yeah. Who would we want? Who's realistic that we would want as the halftime show?
That would actually do it?
Yeah, like a realistic halftime show that we would be like, yeah. Because you remember when The Who played?
Yeah.
I'm sure dad loved that.
The biggest act that hasn't done it would be Metallica. I love how you, regardless of what you think, that is the biggest rock band of the last 50 years.
That's not the question. The question is what band would get us old curmudgeons excited most?
Again, the biggest band.
It's not Metallica. It's not. I'm telling you, I'm one of the curmudgeons. I'm telling you, that doesn't get me excited.
Okay, what do you need?
But this is, Rob, they sell more albums, they sell more tickets than any old group. So what?
I'm looking for something a little more.
What do you want, like the Stones?
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Mick Jagger's
so old.
Mick Jagger's 85.
Aerosmith?
They're retired.
And I don't think your dad would dig Aerosmith, if you know what I mean.
No.
I mean, you know.
Oh, this is a good one. Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks would get that.
Safe. Very
that
safe.
That group that hated Kendrick Lamar would.
Garth Brooks would be very safe.
And Bruce, maybe Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah, text line saying Springsteen.
Bruce already did it.
Well, okay, we'll do it again.
I think Foo Fighters is a good pick.
Yeah. Yeah,
Foo. Yeah, not for us olds. They're too loud.
That's what I'm saying. Foo, Pearl Jam. I mean, the big American rock groups that are still around and are relevant and sell out arenas around the world, it's Pearl Jam, it's the Foo Fighters, and it's Metallica.
I'm hearing Bad Bunny. That's what I'm hearing.
He's a big deal. Absolutely.
I'm hearing that.
Yeah.
From my sources.
Yeah, Bunny's a huge deal.
All right. Well, it's exciting times. Why, you ask? You didn't ask that, but I'll ask it for you. Why? Well, because it's the day after the Super Bowl.
Yes. Even though the game, for a lot of people, didn't hold up, I thought it was fascinating. I love digging into why things happened. And from a football nerd schematic standpoint, I was fascinated by,
you know what it was?
What happened.
It was obscene.
It was obscene. It's obscene. It was.
So let's talk about it.
Let's get into it.
The beauty is we have a full show today.
Yeah.
And then we'll start our new sports calendar year tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Right?
Today we sports.
Today tomorrow. Danny asked us on his way out. He's like, is this the biggest day in sports radio? I'm like, you know, I think in terms of recurring days in the year, I don't know what rivals it.
It's the follow-up to the largest event in the United States, and it's not even close, so I don't know.
Ooh, Yacht Rock, that'd be good.
What is Bertie Higgins?
Somebody said Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates, Kenny Loggins. Now you're talking. What were we talking about? Oh, what other days even rivals the Monday after the Super Bowl for sports radio? I mean, I don't even know. Nothing that comes along.
I mean, maybe the
Thursday or Friday of March Madness.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that was kind of where I was going to go with that. The beginning of March Madness is certainly a big one.
Like, start of college football season feels big, but it's not like the Friday before the zero week does anything for you.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, just look, 120, 130 million people tune into one thing. And look, the halftime show to the commercials, they're all of those things are honestly bigger than 90% of things that go on in sports. I mean, this isn't even, like, when you get a big Rose Bowl game, Michigan, Alabama, remember that did like 30 million people or whatever it was? And it was like, oh my God, that's a lot. The Super Bowl is 100 plus million. And it doesn't matter how bad the game is. One team could not show up and you could go recruit a peewee football team to go out there and it would still do 100 million people.
Well, you better be on your game today then.
I'll see what I can do.
Got a lot of people tuning in for hot takes. You know, although they've probably been hot taking all day.
Yeah, and one of the things I dislike the most about the Super Bowl is the hot take that are just ignorant that are coming out of this. And we do it every year because then we got to get into the legacy and who gets the flowers and... It's just, it's nauseating. So I will try to do my best to provide rational insight and rational takes to some of the really egregiously dumb.
Not me.
Things that are out there right now.
I'm getting wild.
Ryan Clark had the balls to go on and say that when history books are written, it will be hard to determine who was the guy in this quarterback generation. That may be the dumbest thing I've ever heard come out of his mouth, out of anyone's mouth. That really, this is where we're at?
Well, all right. Put a pin in it. We gotta take a break. And then let's come back and bitch about what Ryan Clark said, okay? Let's talk about it. The Super Bowl. It was a big, easy beatdown. And we discuss next on The Fan. That's right. Sachi. Suk. Culturally at the forefront of... next to nothing. But hey, it was a great Super Bowl. Wait, it wasn't even that.
It was not.
Damn it.
It was interesting. See, I didn't mind that it was a blowout because I was just interested in what was going on. and how it was going down. And I appreciate greatness. And when I think about Super Bowls, I will put what Philadelphia did in that game. I put it there with what the Seahawks did to the Broncos. And that's the one that it probably rings the most true, because we've seen other dominant defensive performances, but not to a quarterback of that level.
It's kind of the same game.
Kind of the same game.
As that Broncos-Seahawks game.
The only thing that gives me pause about that is that Denver offense was great. I mean, it was great. And I'm not trying to do revisionist history here, because I bought into the Chiefs as well. But I've been saying for the last 2 years that I did not think this Chiefs team was very good. I thought they had the best coach, the best defensive coordinator, and maybe the best quarterback of all time. And that covered up a lot. But I just always thought, and I keep picking against Kansas City. I was like, dude, there are too many holes on this roster, and eventually the dam is going to burst. And it isn't. And so you got to that point, and we were going to this game, and I've said time and time again, the 2 weeks leading up to it, Philadelphia is better than they are at every position minus one. And I said, it's fascinating that we still all believe, and myself included, that Andy Reid, Spags, and Patrick Mahomes were going to be enough, even though every other position group, there was an advantage, and some of them a significant advantage in Philadelphia. And so then to see that illusion of Kansas City winning in the margins, to see that absolutely just torn asunder before you and laid bare, I was fascinated by it. And I actually went back and watched it from the all 22 standpoint, because again, I just thought it was really interesting to see a Kansas City team that I kept waiting for a defense to tear them apart like that. And then I really started to, it was almost like there's the Mike Tyson myth, right? Like no one can do this, even though it looks on paper.
Didn't Tampa do that?
Well, Tampa did it a couple years ago, but that was when this injuries had riddled them. They were playing with three.
Well, I guess that's true.
And by the way, can I also point out in that game, because I've seen people bring that up, if you go back and watch that Super Bowl, and you want my, this is the hottest take I'll have all day. That Super Bowl where they got their ass kicked by Tampa Bay, that was the best game I've ever seen Patrick Mahomes play. Patrick Mahomes single-handedly kept them in that game for a point and was doing things in that game. I've never seen one guy play against an entire defense and feel like he could still make it competitive. Now, eventually the dam burst and they got blown out and he didn't have a chance. But to see this, and I know there were problems, we can talk about the left side of the line, but that's like, so Kansas City has tried multiple times to find a left tackle and they couldn't do it. And so they just bumped their all-pro left guard out. And in the playoffs, he had been lights out. And you're like, only the Kansas City Chiefs can take that and just do it. And it's like, oh, it's no big deal, right? Everything that seemingly should derail the Chiefs never does. And so you just build up this invincibility where you're like, it doesn't matter. They will find a way. They will find a way. They'll be down 10. It doesn't matter. They've been down 10 in every Super Bowl they've played. And it doesn't matter. They just find a way to come back. And yet this one, there was no way to come back. This was a Seattle Seahawks, I'm going to put my foot on your balls and make you believe it.
Whoa.
And that thing was over.
I don't know if you ever, I agree with you. I mean, I don't, games all have different feels.
Yeah.
You could have 3 24-0 games and they could all have a very different feel about what might happen in the second half. That one was like, if you were just paying attention at all, you're like, dude, this game, I don't even need to watch the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, they made, that's as good of a performance in a Super Bowl as I think I've ever seen.
Yes.
Not that I remember every team's performance in every Super Bowl I've watched, but dude, the Eagles on both sides of the ball were absolutely awesome. Mm-hmm. And they made Patrick Mahomes, I think that's the biggest shocker here. Not really even that it was a blowout, because the Chiefs have been blown out in a Super Bowl before. Mm-hmm. It was, they made Patrick Mahomes look like he had never played quarterback.
And that's the, yes.
That's unbelievable. I mean, the way they made him, and Brady called it out, like his happy feet back there. And like,
that doesn't happen to him.
It just does not happen to him. That's how good Philly was.
Because go back and again, watch the Tampa Super Bowl, because the Tampa Super Bowl, believe it or not, was worse up front for Kansas City than this one was. And yet Mahomes was still playing his ass off. There were two or three plays where he made these ridiculous diving throws and his receivers dropped them, The one to Tyreek Hill, go back and look. It's the best throw you'll ever see. This, you know about the Superman throw to Kelsey that he had in the title game? It was 10 times that. It was to Tyreek Hill, and he dropped it in the end zone. So even when he's under pressure, he still finds a way. This was a Sam Darnold icy ghost game, and he threw two horrible picks.
Yeah,
he was bad. He wasn't scrambling. He was just in a state of panic.
Do you think he knew? Because I feel like if you're watching tape for 2 weeks, getting ready for that,
yeah,
surely he knew he was in. I mean, like, what does a quarterback go into that thinking? Like, oh, I'm the greatest and I can beat anybody? Probably.
Yeah.
But on tape, come on, man. He knows his offensive line. He knows that Eagles defensive line. He had to have been looking at that going, oh, crap.
Well, it's weird because Philly has been good all year. That's the best their defensive line is. Like they turned it up at the right moment. So while I know that's a very, very good Philly defense, I do think Kansas City went in. What was interesting is they didn't even try to run the ball. So I think on film they looked at it and they're like, screw this, we're not even going to attempt this, right? Our quick passing game is going to be our run game. And I do think that Kansas City got shell-shocked because when I went back and looked at some of their pass protection schemes, Philly or Kansas City underestimated what Philly's front was going to be able to do to them. And I thought some of their protection schemes were actually quite sound, and they just got their ass whooped. I did not think that they believed that Tooney, their all-pro left guard, who got moved out to left tackle, which, by the way, I don't think we can appreciate how hard that is. Playing left guard and playing left tackle, those are not similar things. It's borderline asking a small forward in the NBA to then go play center, or maybe vice versa. I mean, it is a huge, huge shift. And while the Eagles edge rushers are good, those are not all world edge rushers. And so to see Tooney just get his ass handed to him on roller skates time and time again. So what they did was they kept double teaming and trying to bring people to Josh Sweat or to Jalen Carter. That was clearly Kansas City's plan, which, by the way, it's a good plan.
Yeah, you can see why they thought that.
You see why they thought it. And what they didn't realize is that everyone else on the D-line was going to eat too. And
it makes me sad.
I just think at some point they ran a tight end screen, right? A tight end delay screen, and Patrick Mahomes got sacked. Do you know how hard it is to get sacked on a tight end delay screen? The whole point of the tight end is to invite the edge rusher up the field so that you can then turn and throw the ball to him. They got sacked on the play. I mean, it just, that was just an absolute.
No chance.
No, there's just no chance. It was just a meltdown. So, and this is the universal truth. We saw it when Tom Brady lost twice to Eli Manning, right? He didn't lose to Eli Manning. He lost twice to the NASCAR front of the New York Giants.
Yep.
And that entire game, the Philadelphia Eagles, did you see, you know how many times they blitzed?
They never blitzed.
Zero.
No, they rushed four the whole time.
And when the game mattered through three quarters, they had a 47% pressure rate.
Doesn't happen.
That just you.
When you don't blitz, that doesn't happen.
You can't win.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you can't win that.
Okay, so let's take a break, and when we come back, you know, because a lot Andy Reid's getting some flat. I mean, they did the Chiefs were bad all around. It wasn't just the offensive line.
No.
They had horrible defensive penalties. Andy Reid was bad. Everything was bad.
It was a bad game
plan.
They
just played. They played terrible.
With the exception of I'll make the case that I thought their defense.
Yeah. They hung in there.
They hung in there.
But they made some big mistakes, penalty-wise.
And like they did really well with Barkley.
They definitely did do that. But Kansas City played all around had a really bad game.
Yeah.
And Philly, I don't know what you say was bad. Can you say anything?
The only thing I can
Barkley?
Say is Barkley, but that was...
They keyed on that.
Spags said, you will not beat us. And Hurts was like, okay. Well,
was great. Hurts was another
awesome.
One. Like, I didn't think there would be a blowout in that game because, well, Kansas City, but also because of Jalen Hurts. And that's going to get lost in the shuffle here, although he did win MVP. He was great.
Yeah.
And he was really good when they warmed him up and they tried to confuse him. He was still good. And that's what we thought would be a decider.
Well, it's because all year he has been, statistically speaking, the worst starting quarterback in the NFL under pressure. And there was one play where at the beginning, we were like, ah, crap, there's Jalen Hurts under pressure.
The INT.
And like, that's Jalen Hurts. And the rest of it, he was great. And
all right.
In his two biggest games of his life, he has played the best two games. And you have to give the guy his flowers. That dude shows up in the biggest moments.
So let's come back and we'll talk about what you do when your offensive line is getting beat like that. How do you adjust? Even the great Andy Reid could not.
No.
If that tells you anything, here's Buck.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are talking about, you guessed it, the Super Bowl. Although, ladies, your man has more sports to view tonight. Well, the NBA's on.
Oh.
So it's not over. Sports season is not over, ladies.
He'll find a way, although, look,
that's right.
If he's saying he has to watch the NBA, he just doesn't want to talk to you.
Luca, that's
Luca
right.
Luca
DeBuca. Boy, I'll tell you what, if I Jeff, not to take a quick detour, but for Maverick fans, oh my God.
Oh, yeah. Anthony Davis already hurt.
Well, he may be done for the year.
He's out for a month.
There's people saying this is going to require a surgery more than likely, and then he's done for the year. Oh, my.
Is that why they call him street clothes?
Yes. Yep. Well, he shows up, right, and he has like this monster first half, and he's like, I want to be here, and everyone's like, okay, well, maybe we need to come, and done.
Ticket sales reps are offering full refunds for season ticket holders if they don't want to come the rest of the way.
They got two quarters out of him, and he may be done for the year.
He got a good little glimpse, though. Like, oh, hey.
Yeah, he could be great there.
You know, Mavs fans are like, oh, my God, look at this.
I feel for him.
Okay, so, yeah, look, the Eagles won 40-22.
And it really was 40-6.
It was not that close.
No, it was
I mean,
not.
They just absolute beat down.
Yeah, the numbers are going to be skewed when it's all done. Yeah, like Mahomes.
I was just looking at the numbers. It's weird to look at the stat sheet. I hadn't seen the stat sheet. I mean, you don't even need to see the stat sheet, but I was just looking at it. You know how many rushes the Eagles had in that game? You care to guess on
how many rushes? Well, yeah. I know Barkley had like 20-something carries for 57 yards.
I mean, it's like if you looked, if you didn't watch the game and you only looked at the stat sheet, you would think it played out maybe a little differently. Yeah. But
well, Saquon Barkley was an absolute non-factor. Other than, dude, yeah. I thought he was great in blitz pickup. I know that's a little minutia thing people don't care about.
Doesn't
show
up in the box score, but it matters a lot.
Dude was a beast.
They rushed 45 times.
45 times.
Yeah. So you may think, you may look at the stat sheet and go, oh, they just, you know, they crammed it down their throat and they just stood. Dude, it was all about the defense.
Yeah.
And then the offense played great when it had to.
If you told Spags, I'm pulling up right now. So Barkley went 25 carries, 57 yards, no touchdowns. Longest run was 10 yards. If you went and told Spags at the beginning of that, hey, you are going to basically neutralize him. By the way, I think you even live if you're Kansas City with the goal ball stuff. Like the big play to A.J. Brown and the big one to Smith, you live with those because your whole game plan was force Jalen Hurts to throw the ball. And he did. And you can live with that. I still think under normal circumstances, if you were Kansas City, you said, hey, they're going to hit a couple big go balls on us, but we're going to take away Barkley. I think you still live with that. And I think the defense, for the most part, in the first half, played well enough to have Kansas City be in a Kansas City game. It's just that they got their second first down, I'm talking about the Chiefs, with like 3 minutes to go in the third quarter.
If I told you Barkley would have 12 carries for 31 yards at half.
Yeah,
What would the score be?
The Eagles are cooked. I'd say
it's a one-score game.
I'd say Kansas City probably 17, Philadelphia 10.
And that's why you can't look at the stats. I mean, it's just it was one of those games. Like somebody says on the Vancouver Four text line, do you guys always feel like when it's a blowout that hindsight is 20/20? Like you, of course, we should have seen this coming. Yeah, a little bit. Sometimes when you talk about these games, and you're seeing this a lot on social media too, but we draw these big, giant conclusions.
Yeah.
And the reality is we shouldn't do any of that.
No.
This was I'm not going to call it a one-off because the Eagles have the better roster, and we knew that.
Yes.
But just the way that all played out, let's not get carried away with all these conclusions. Look, Philly absolutely flattened them, and they should be given all the credit in the world for that. If they played again in the same scenario,
it's not like that.
I don't know that it's like that. It was just one of those games, and you got to give Philly all the credit, and that's really it. So he's right about hindsight, where you always want to just be like, oh, well, why didn't we see this and why didn't we see that? Well, no one saw that coming. No. I mean,
and let me defend the Kansas City defense here for a bit, right? We'll go through, right? So Philadelphia.
Well, can we pause, though?
Yeah, we can pause.
I hate to do that to you, I want to hear what you have to say, but we have to try to say stay somewhat on time.
Yeah, because we can get out of it. I mean,
we can get wild. Yeah. So I do love the day after the Super Bowl. It's always fun. There's always a lot to discuss, and I have a million notes. I do also want to get to the thing that I teased last segment too, and that is how, because somebody on the text line texted about Duck Fan still sitting there thinking about, how do you adjust when your offensive line is getting absolutely mauled?
Hardest thing to do.
Boy, those two game scripts, very similar.
It is, yeah. It's like, and I didn't even think about that, but he brought that up, and I was like, oh, that's true. Oregon Fan is sitting there going, well, oh, Dan Lanning this or that.
It's the ultimate.
Two great coaches in Dan Lanning and Andy Reid. What do you do? So I do want to ask you that question, too. So we've got those things coming up next on The Fan. Pretty good little caller.
Yeah.
The local guy there. Yeah. I don't know his name, but.
From WIP.
Okay. Yes. I jotted down you were going to defend Kansas City's defense. I jotted that down. I want to get to that.
Okay.
But first, what do you do when your offensive line is getting smoked like that?
Yeah.
And you've got the best quarterback in the league running for his life. What should Andy Reid have done? What did he not do or try that he could have?
Hindsight being 20/20 and the fact that the game was still in doubt. I mean, it didn't get blown out until the end of the half, right? Even when it was 17-0 and the Chiefs had the ball, you're like, hey, if they go down and get a score here, they get the ball at the half. Dude, Kansas City's not going to panic here. I think where it got away from them was they never attempted to run the ball. And they knew going in their run game was trash, and it hasn't been very good. But I'm a little shocked that they never made an attempt to run the ball at all. So when you do have a team that is just pinning the ears back and coming, full speed up ahead, you would think that you would like to try to slow that down a little bit with the run game. I think if you were to go back and ask Andy Reid at the beginning, I think he would have tried to work in some more play action stuff. I mean, they just went out of the gun the entire time and basically told Philadelphia, we're not going to run the ball. And to be one-dimensional against that team, that's a bit of a death sentence. I think the other thing that they could have done was, I was surprised that eventually they didn't move Tooney back inside and play one of the tackles, because then at least you only would have had one bad position, because what you had was the backup left guard who was just getting annihilated, and then you had your left tackle who was your left guard, who was a really, really good left guard. He might have, believe it or not, he might have played a worse game than, the Caliendo or whatever? Tooney might have actually played a worse game. So sometimes when you reshuffle your old line, instead of having one bad problem, you end up with two bad problems. And so what they were trying to do was, they were trying to help out the right side and just leave the left side alone, and it ended up causing three separate problems. So I think what happened was Kansas City tried to fill, like, when you know when the dam starts leaking, you were trying to fill the holes with your thumbs and you were filling the wrong holes. So they kept trying to protect the right side of the line, and it wasn't working because just everyone was getting beat. I mean, the only two players that had a good game was the center and the left guard. And the other thing that I think you could have seen Kansas City do, and I think they waited too long, was they had to take some shots downfield. And you saw once the game was out of hand, some of that stuff over the top was there with Xavier Worthy taking some of those shots downfield. But Kansas City has basically thrived all year on the underneath stuff. Problem is that when you only rush four and you play that they played, I don't get super technical, but the Eagles basically played one coverage the entire game. They played quarters. So each guy takes a fourth of the field, and then you play really tight zone underneath. And there was nowhere to go with the ball. And so Kansas City is not a deep play offense at all. They have lived on the underneath stuff. Think Tom Brady during his runs. But you would see Mahomes go back, and he would go to throw the ball quickly, and you'd see him, like, he wouldn't get rid of the ball because there was nowhere to go. You had to get Philadelphia to move out of that coverage and get them to extend their defense. And once it was over, you saw them throw the ball downfield a little bit. I think they should have tried that a little bit earlier on to try to soften it up. The problem with that is,
You gotta take time.
It takes time.
You gotta let it develop.
And when you're getting your entire left side of your line that is just getting shoved into your lap, and I think that's what you saw again. Edge pressure is one thing, right? You can live with edge pressure because you can step up in the pocket. But when your left tackle is literally getting shoved into your lap, and then the left guard is just getting beat, there is nowhere else to go. And so I thought Philly did a great job. Fun little scheme that I think Fangio did, even though there was no blitzes, they would send the right side of their line, whether that was Sweat, who played out there on the right side a lot, and then Jordan Davis or Carter. It was a lot of times it was Jalen Carter. They would have them rush a wide pass rush on the right side, basically telling Mahomes, you cannot get outside of the pocket going to the right side, right? We are going to rush a wide nine technique and a wide three. We are basically going to create an umbrella out there. And so where's the only place that Mahomes can bail after that? Well, he has to bail to the left side or step up in the pocket. Problem, the left side of the line of scrimmage was a French battlefield line that was just getting blown apart. And I thought that little scheme adjustment was so sneaky good on the part of Philadelphia. And even when Kansas City tried to give help, there were times where they would send a tight end or a back to help on one of the edges, they still got beat. It just was a piss poor execution on the part of Kansas City outside of the right guard and the center. And when that happens, I can sit up here and say, well, you should have tried this, you should have tried that. At the end of the day, if you were getting beat on your one-on-one matchups like that, unless you were to go back at the beginning of the game and just try something completely different, they were not prepared for what was coming from the Philadelphia defense.
Yeah, Fangio is a master.
Yeah.
And he proved that. And he's like Spagnuolo. Spagnuolo's gotten a lot of love for their Super Bowl titles. Vic Fangio, I thought, should have been the damn MVP.
Well, and like Spagnuolo, he tried his hand at head coaching, didn't work for him, went back to DCing, and he's a legend.
But at the same time, he's got thoroughbreds everywhere.
Yes.
I mean, that deep. So his game plan genius. It's like, okay, well, we think we can rush with just our front four, and then Kansas City doesn't go downfield. They're not going to have time if we rush, if we get there like we think we will. So therefore, we'll just, I guess the two picks are a great example of that, where the guy's just sitting right there waiting on the short passing game. Make Kansas City adjust to that, and they couldn't. You said, one quick follow-up, you said run the ball, and I think a lot of people were screaming at their TV if you were rooting for the Chiefs, like, dude, you got to run the ball. Like, you have to. Like, you can't. There's nothing else you can do, really, because Mahomes is going to die. He has nowhere to go. He doesn't have time. You have to open this up with the run.
Yeah.
11 carries, 49 yards for the Chiefs.
And most of those were Mahomes scrambles.
Yeah, and so they average 4.5 yards per carry, which isn't, I mean, that's not awful, but 11 carries, 49 yards. I want it, because I'm only just now today, having come in and read the text line and talked to you and done the show and everything, seeing the correlation between that game and the Oregon
Ohio
State game in the Rose Bowl. I didn't think of that until I got in here, which is what some of the fun of doing this. And I look back, because first of all, the final score, 40-22.
Not indicative of what the game was.
Well, okay, but 40-22, Eagles over Chiefs. Ohio State over Oregon, 41-21.
Again, not indicative of how bad that ass kicked.
Exactly. It's kind of the same game.
The script was almost identical, too. Huge shutout early. You pour on a little bit late.
So the Chiefs ended up running the ball 11 times for 49 yards. Like you say, when you're getting pounded like that on the offensive line, the defensive front is just overwhelming you. You have to run the ball, right?
Have to.
Dan Lanning, so I went and just checked while you were talking there, how many times Dan Lanning ran the ball. So Andy Reid ran it 11 times. How many times did Dan Lanning run the ball in that game? Do you remember?
I'm guessing not a bunch.
No, I mean, Jordan James did almost nothing. I would say less than 20.
So 28.
28?
Yes. Okay.
Don't those Gabriel sacks count? I think those Gabriel sacks count as, so really 20, but.
They got 8 sacks?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they got 5 on Mahomes, didn't
they? Don't count in the NFL.
In the NFL, they don't.
Okay, gotcha. So, yeah, maybe it's a little misleading. Yeah. But you know how many yards they had, Oregon? Minus 23. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's the sacks. There's but the sacks. 28 carries, minus 23 yards for Oregon, 11 carries, 49 yards for the Chiefs.
And I get it. Once you get to a certain point when you're down, you know, same Oregon, you get down 20, it's hard to stay balanced. But this is why.
But you got to try. You have to.
You have to. This, especially early on, I guarantee Andy Reid goes back today and goes, my game plan was crap. I got, when you tell yourself, this is why people are like, oh, why does it matter playing under center? And you hear all the time, right? Marrying the run game to your pass game. Like, when you become one-dimensional and you have to live in the shotgun and just say, this is what we're going to do, and you're telling the defense, this is what you're going to do, you are setting yourself up to fall into a really bad trap and a really bad pattern when you're physically getting beat. And that was Kansas City. And that was the weird part is that, I'm telling you, this belief that this was out of hand early on, that is not true. The Kansas City defense was playing well enough. It really wasn't until the turnovers.
Like, well, yeah, one of them was a pick six. And what was there was another one where he turned it over on
the 5-yard
line?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's just like
there's two of them right
Kansas
there.
Kansas City's defense was doing enough in that first half to keep them in the game. It's just that the offense put them in such horrendous, by the way, Philadelphia's starting field position all game, 43-yard line. And then the turnovers, it just was a killer. You can't have one first down and 23 yards in the half. So I actually feel bad for the Kansas City defense that's getting ripped apart. And I don't think the Kansas City defense should be shouldering the blame. I actually think the Kansas City defense played well enough for them to win or be in this game if the offense held up their end of the bargain. And certainly they did not.
Well, you saw the time of possession indicating that too. Like they could not get their defense off the field.
No. Well, think about
it. They had at least 3 penalties I can remember where they gave them first downs on third down.
This is what I'm saying. The first touchdown was because of the worst
Terrible penalty.
I mean, it's just awful.
But so was the A.J. Brown
penalty. So was the A.J. Brown one, so maybe that was a gimme, right? But they got their touchdown off of that, which shouldn't have been.
Because it was third down.
Yes.
So they stopped him.
They stopped.
They were going to hold him to a field goal.
Yes.
Or maybe even a punt. I don't remember where exactly.
I forget if it was would have been that. But they would have held him to at least an attempt at a field goal, if not a punt. And then they got the interception on Hurts because they heated him up and he went full Jalen Hurts. And then they held and they stiffened to a field goal. And then came the pick six.
Yep.
And all of a sudden it's 17-0. And even after that, they still forced Philadelphia then to punt. And so it was like they were hanging in there right until again the second touch,
the next pick
and
that was the killer,
and they got it to him on whatever the 6 yard line or whatever the hell it was,
and they shoved it in,
and then they shoved it in, and then it's 24-0 and the game is over. But that first half was not a bad half of football for the Kansas City defense. It was the worst half of football you could possibly play on offense. In fact, it might be the worst performance for a Mahomes like character in the first half of a Super Bowl ever.
It's got to be. They had 3 carries for 3 yards in the first half.
Yeah.
Mahomes had 2 interceptions, one of them a pick six, and 33 passing yards. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
You think you can go back and find a worse half?
And I feel like they probably had the ball for 5 or 6 minutes because they just couldn't stay on the field offensively.
Yeah, they said that they have only punted. I saw somebody on social media pointed out that I think there was only 3 other times that they had punted on their first 3 drives of a game since 2018.
Yeah.
They just never, never happens to them.
No. And Kansas City will be fine. I mean, I think, again, we're now into the Philly's a dynasty and Kansas City's done. There's a blueprint, whatever. Kansas City is going to have to go back because I'm telling you, the last 2 years, there has been signs of this. There has been the makings of a collapse like this. They just always find a way to get out of it. And I don't even know if this collapse is indicative. Like you said, if they played 10 times, you can't tell me that they all go like this. This may have just been one played the best game they've played all year and one played the worst game. But I do think that Kansas City is going to have to go back and take a long, hard look. And they've been very good at retooling and changing over their roster, but there will have to be significant changes that are made this offseason if Kansas City wants to get back. And we're also seeing why teams don't win 3 Super Bowls in a row. It's really freaking hard because eventually the cracks in the armor really bust wide open, or you just happen to play a stinker, or you run into a damn buzzsaw.
I was going to say, yeah, it's the latter there. It's like you just run into a team that freaking played that was the best game the Eagles will ever play.
If you play the best roster in the NFL, and I know this is going to sound crappy, but it's true, and I don't care, you know, people can yell and scream me all they want. The biggest weakness on the Philadelphia team is their quarterback. But what did we say? When their quarterback plays well, it's the best team in football, and it's not really close. And in the last 2 games, the biggest games of his life, he has played lights out. And when that happens, maybe you just have to shrug your shoulders and go, my God, that's the best team in football when he plays like that. Because Hurts was great.
He was great. He was perfect. He's perfect for their system, too.
Yes.
He's not, you know, obviously
he can't carry you,
Mahomes, but he's really good for what they've built.
Yes.
And yes, 95 points in the last 2 games.
Yeah. And only 1 or 2 Jalen Hurts moments.
Pretty nasty. All right.
And by the Jalen Hurts moments, I mean the under pressure. And he tried a couple times. Every time he backs up like 15 yards on those scrambles, you're like, oh my God, here it comes. But it didn't kill him.
All right. More about the Big Easy beatdown next. And then we have StackWatch, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports on The Fan.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here.
If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.